But I'm gonna talk about a test that Darren did last summer. Obviously, I was not involved in the trial. It was conducted at Starkville. And what I want to do is just kind of go at it from the aspect of using LibertyLink as a resistance management tool. And we'll get into that a little bit more. But we've seen different versions of this slide all week. We know that our modern agriculture, or we control in our modern agriculture, is based on glyphosate. The vast majority of crops, especially in our part of the world in Mississippi, are we're pretty much in a monoherbicide system with glyphosate. It's still the cornerstone of all of our burn down programs, and then obviously our in-crop weed control also. I put this slide in. I think most research and extension folks have shown some version of this slide at some point over the last few years, and just pretty much everything you don't want to do in weed management. Just textbook stuff. I was taught all of these concepts in school before we even had Roundup Ready crops, let alone glyphosate resistant weeds. But the glyphosate system has taken us to unprecedented heights, but at the same time we're putting kind of an inordinate amount of selection pressure on our weed species through the use of that technology. Another slide we've seen multiple times, multiple versions of this week, 15 weeds documented resistant to glyphosate. One interesting thing that Dr. Smith pointed out yesterday that I hadn't noticed when I put my version of the slide together is that 8 of those weeds, the 9 in bold are the ones in the U.S., but he says that 8 of those weeds are present in our cotton-producing states. And in Mississippi, we're not immune to the problem. We've been dealing with herbicide resistance in one form or another for about 20 years now, since the late 80s when ALS-resistant cuckle burr was first documented. We have 12 weeds listed on the site. Personally, I could name at least one or maybe even two more that are not listed on the site that are definitely resistant to different classes of chemistry. We do have 4 weeds that are confirmed resistant. Like most everyone else in the Mid-South, our first experience with glyphosate resistant was with horseweed in the early 2000s. And Mississippi is kind of unique, not unlike Arkansas. The vast majority of our large farms, at least, occur in the Delta region of the state, right along the river. So most of our horseweed problems are in the Delta. And we say probably the northern 3/4 of the Delta has glyphosate-resistant horseweed. Since 2005, we've identified Italian ryegrass, and fortunately that right now is still in a relatively small acreage. For sure, west central Mississippi and Washington County, but probably a few more counties out from there. Monsanto identified resistant Johnson grass at a single site in Cahoma County, which is in northwest Mississippi. It's a couple counties below Memphis. And then also Palmer amaranth, we documented this past season, or concluded the greenhouse trials documenting that resistance in Tunica and Cahoma counties. And so fortunately for us in Mississippi, we still have a relatively small acreage that's being impacted by the pigweed problems. But if you look at our neighbors to the north and the west, I think without a doubt we're going to see that acreage go up quite a bit in 2009. We also have 3 that we're keeping a close eye on. We actually had a pretty good scare with a population of barnyard grass in Bolivar County last summer. Fortunately, that particular population, we didn't get any resistant individuals out of that. They were all susceptible. We have a population of water hemp, and some of us call it tall water hemp, some of us call it common water hemp, but water hemp nonetheless from Washington County, that's more than likely going to be confirmed in the very near future, and then a population of giant ragweed that we're testing right now. So that kind of leads me into what I'm going to talk about the rest of my time, and that's our transgenic cotton. And as I said, you know, the Roundup Ready technology revolutionized weed control as we knew it in the late 20th century. The Roundup Ready was introduced in 97, but it had some problems, so we had some pretty strict restrictions with timing and rate. Flex took care of a lot of those problems, loosened up those restrictions on timing and rate, and then the Liberty Link technology, which we've had for about 5 years now, is offering us an alternative technology for over-the-top weed control. Just some quick literature, just from the aspect of cotton tolerance, the excellent tolerance in the Flex varieties, and yield optimized with multiple glyphosate applications. The Liberty Link system probably going to require a little bit more TLC, especially when you're going after grasses or pigweed species, and it's performed best when we have a preceding the Ignite applications, which we saw a couple of presentations of that earlier. So we've had the Liberty Link technology for 5 or so years now. 2009 will be the 6th year. But for the most part, our growers in the Mid-South have been kind of reluctant to adopt that technology. And that's been for various different reasons. Some of those reasons are substantiated, and some of them were at one point, and now those have kind of gone away with some improvements in the technology. But one of the big knocks early on was the lack of adapted varieties for the Mid-South, and those varieties have been under continual development since the technology was commercialized, so we do have some better varieties now than we had in the early years. Another problem was insect resistance, and we do have Liberty Link varieties now with the BT2 trait. And then up until probably last year, glyphosate has been significantly less expensive than glufosinate, but last year and then going into this year, that difference is going to be not quite as large as it had been in the past. The Liberty Link technology, like I said, it is going to require a little bit more attention than the Roundup Ready system to make it work effectively. And then herbicide drift. For me, coming out of a few years working in rice and in the Delta where we do have a significant amount of rice, drift is always a concern going both ways with really no crops immune to drift. And then herbicide performance. Glufosinate or Ignite, the trade name, is a very effective herbicide if you understand what the herbicide's capable of and don't ask it to do something that it can't do. I pulled this slide or I pulled these data out of Miss Peggy Thaxton's cotton variety trials from last summer, and I didn't put the designations for the varieties on there. It's really irrelevant, but one Roundup Ready, two Flex, and two Liberty Link. You see that the Liberty Link, it didn't quite match the Flex varieties, but that gap is not as big as it was at one point in that one case between the second Flex and the first Liberty Link. That difference is only about 100 pounds. So those varieties have really come on in the last few years, and hopefully we'll have some even better varieties going into the future where we'll have some potential to grow. So the objectives of Dr. Dodd's test were to evaluate rates of Ignite in sequential applications, and then the second component of that trial was mixing some residual herbicides in with the Ignite. The study was conducted at Starkville, Phytogen 485 Wide Strike Flex and Fibromax 1735 Liberty Link, planted May the 7th, and you can see some of our other methods there. The first component of the test was a rate comparison. The timings were 4-leaf and 10-leaf cotton. We basically had, three rates of Ignite, the 0.4, 0.53, and 0.79, which is 22, 29, and 43 ounces of Ignite in various sequential applications, and then we had the Roundup WeatherMax comparison in there also. The residual evaluation, we had Cotteran followed by two applications of Ignite, and then a staple or dual combined with the first application of Ignite, and then followed by Ignite, and then the no residual comparisons with Ignite only program and a WeatherMax only program. Now we'll say that at Starkville this year, as in most of Mississippi and probably much of the Mid-South, extremely dry during most of May and pretty much all of June. So really not conditions conducive for evaluating weed control. So I just went ahead and put both of our weed species on the same chart since we didn't have a lot of differences in the data. But we have the bar clusters there. The first cluster for each species is going to be an evaluation of strictly that four-leaf timing. And then the second cluster will be after both of the treatments have been applied. And really the only thing to point out there is on the tall water hemp, after the first application, a little bit of a rate response as we increase the ignite rate, and then no differences for barnyard grass. Let's just give you an idea of the weed pressure that we had. You can see we didn't have a whole lot even in the check. As we got on a little bit later in the year, started getting some rainfall, some grasses started coming on. And on top of it being extremely dry for much of the early summer, we also had the flip of that in August, where we had the remnants of two hurricanes that came through in August and September, and then a couple of other pretty significant rain events on top of that. So these yields were not all that uncommon for the Delta this past year. So yields really low, but then no differences in the data except for everything that was treated yielded better than the check. A little bit of dip there with the 43 ounces of ignite followed by the 29, but again, not significant, and I really don't have an explanation for why that was. The residual, again, set up the same way, and the only really real thing to point out there is after that first application of ignite, we did have a benefit of having one of those three residuals at some point in the program, but then after the sequential application, those gaps were closed up, and then with the barnyard grass, no differences. Again, just to show you the overall lack of weed pressure and excellent control that we had. Same thing with yield on this portion of the trial. A little bit of dip there with the dual added into the system, but again, not significant. So just to quickly summarize, I think the overall point to drive home from this trial was it was dry, and we didn't have a lot of weeds, and then we had the tremendous amount of rainfall on towards the end of the year. But under the conditions that we had and comparing among our treatments, that 22 ounces was effective for controlling water hemp and barnyard grass, and then there was a benefit with the Cotteran staple or dual used in the programs with Ignite. And then I just threw in that last point that compared with two applications of Roundup Weathermax, that the Ignite system was as effective. So that's all I have. If y'all have any questions, Darren and I will try to answer them. Yes, sir. Other two weeds. Well, there really be in rice systems, barnyard grass. We have some resistance to barnyard grass that's common in other states that we've just never technically documented in Mississippi. All right. Thank you very much.